Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein, and this is the Song Travels Podcast. Each week on Song Travels, my guest and I share an hour of conversation and music. The Song Travels Podcast features some of my favorite moments from the interview. To listen to full episodes online, visit npr.org, and for more podcasts, subscribe at itunes.com/songtravels.
To support the series, join the Friends of Song Travels. More information on our Facebook page at facebook.com/songtravels.
Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein. My guest today is vocalist and lifelong philanthropist, Ginny Mancini. She began her career with Mel Torme and the Meltones, and in 1947 married fellow musician, composer, and conductor, Henry Mancini. The late Henry Mancini was known for his film scores, songs, and TV themes. He recorded more than 90 albums and won 20 Grammys and 4 Oscars. Ginny Mancini carries on his legacy through her work as past president and founding member of the Henry Mancini Institute, and she's received numerous awards recognizing her humanitarian work and her unflagging efforts on behalf of the arts. Ginny, welcome to Song Travels.
I'm so happy to be here with you, Michael. This is just great. Thank you.
I'm really excited to have this opportunity to speak to you about your life and your career and your work. You've had a most fascinating life. Do you ever look back and say, did I do all that?
I do look back, Michael, and it's been magical for me. I can't describe it.
Is it music that has created this marvelous life?
I think music is the core value that has guided me through life. I don't know what I would have done without it. I was raised in a Mexican household, and there was music everywhere. I was a product of divorce. I was raised by my grandparents. I never really lived with my mother until I was about 12, and she did remarry. At that point, I thought I needed some joy in my life, so I went to audition for the Glee Club. And the Glee Club teacher took out a pitch pipe and hit a high B flat, and I couldn't hit it. So I was relegated to the alto section, where I found a world of harmony that made all the difference in the world to me. I always say my tombstone should read, "She lived in the middle of a hot chord." Anyway, that was the beginning of my musical career. Glee Club in Bret Hart Junior High School in the alto section. And when I graduated from high school, I decided that I might want to be a court reporter. So I enrolled in LA City College, and when I finished all the courses that I needed to take, shorthand, typing, whatever, I enrolled in mixed chorus in the afternoon. And it was there that I ran into three other people who were as enamored of vocal harmony as I was. The Merrimacks were one of the first vocal groups who had four-part harmony. It was that hot note in the middle of the chord that got my attention.
Huh. When did you meet Mel Torme? Because you became a member of the Meltones, which is one of the most famous vocal groups of the 40s and beyond.
There was a very famous orchestra leader in the 30s and early 40s. His name was Ben Pollock. And he was from Chicago and became acquainted with Mel Torme, this incredibly talented young teenager, and encouraged his family to move to Hollywood to seek his fame and fortune. So Ben Pollock had heard us sing somewhere, some party, some gig, I don't even remember where, but he arranged for us to meet Mel Torme in 1943. We met and were joined at the hip for 3 years. It was just a beautiful, beautiful, great time for us. His arrangements were so different and fresh.
And he wrote a lot of songs that were popular at the time and some that have been enduring standards. Of course, the most famous being the Christmas song. People call it Chestnuts Roasting. And eventually you moved on too. Did the Mel Tones disband? Is that what happened?
Mel was so multi-talented, but he had to focus. He realized that the vocal group had to go, so we disbanded. I took a secretarial job for Jackie Coogan, who was alive at the time, and I would pick up the phone and say, "Jackie Coogan Company." And one day the phone rang and somebody said to me, "Ginny, in case you're interested, Tex Beneke is coming through town." Tex was holding auditions in his dressing room at the Million Dollar Theater downtown L.A. And having nothing better to do, I said, "Why not?" I went down and auditioned, and sitting at the piano was a tall, young, handsome Italian kid by the name of Henry Mancini, who played for the auditions. And I got hired, and the rest is history.
So you began to sing with Tex Beneke's band, and to explain, Tex Beneke was the successor to the Glenn Miller Orchestra. Glenn Miller, he disappeared in a plane during the Second World War, and Tex took over the band after Miller's death.
He was the obvious choice to take over the Miller band, and he was great. And so in October of 1946, I left on a train for San Francisco with 36 strange men,
36.
Never having been out of California before. Anyway, and that at that time, we were doing 5 and 6 shows a day at the Orpheum Theater. Then we traveled to Omaha to the big theater there. And then the orchestra of the band was so popular at that time. People couldn't get enough of the Miller sound and those wonderful vocal arrangements of Kalamazoo and Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Yes, At Last.
At Last. You know, it was great.
The meeting with Hank Mancini, meeting Hank, were there sparks immediately when you met him?
Oh, no. He had just been released from the service. He had a steady job. He had a check coming at the end of the week. He was arranging. He was playing. He had girls making goo-goo eyes at him. He was not looking for a wife, I can tell you that. He loved his freedom. He was kind of a weird, nerdy kind of a guy. As a matter of fact, the guys in the band used to call him Weirdo, and I could never figure that one out. But anyway, he, as I say, he was not looking for a wife, and by the time I realized how talented he was, I started to pay attention then, but I did not want to be married to a traveling musician. I saw what the orchestra wives' lives were like, meeting up with their husbands in one city or another. That was not what I wanted. But I was always fascinated with the men who would come into a recording session, pass out the music, and make magic with the notes they put on paper. So it wasn't until I heard what he put on paper that I really took a good hard look, and then I went for it.
And you were married a year later.
Yes. After a year on the road, I missed California. I missed home. I was only making $90 a week, so when we had a week off at Christmas time, I hadn't enough money to fly home. So Henry said to me, "I'm going to spend the week with my family in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. If you'd like to come, I'd love to have you there." So I decided to go and spend the week at his home, because my measure of a good husband is somebody who had a great loving relationship with his mother. And I was like a fly on the wall, observing And it was a lovely relationship. He was sweet, kind, had all the qualities that I could trust in a partner for life. That's when I decided that's what I would like to do. So I gave my notice to Tex. I said, I'm going back to California. I didn't give Henry an ultimatum, but I said, when you're ready, let me know. And 3 months later, he gave Tex his notice. He said, I'm ready. I'm coming. I think he trusted that I could open a few doors with the career that I had had. And I was able to do that. But once the door was opened, he was able to produce.
Sure did.
It all worked out.
I'd like to play something iconic by Hank. There are a lot of iconic things he wrote. Do you have a favorite Mancini song?
I would suppose Two for the Road would be my favorite.
I would love to perform Two for the Road.
Be Still My Heart.
Especially since it's your favorite song. I have to do it. Music by Henry Mancini, lyrics by Leslie Bricus. Performed by yours truly for our guest, Jenny Mancini. If you're feeling fancy free, come wander through the world with me, and any place you chance to be will be our rendezvous. Two for the road will travel down the years, collecting precious memories, selecting souvenirs, and living life the way we please. In summertime, the sun will shine. In winter, we'll drink summer wine. And every day that you are mine will be a lovely day. As long as love still wears a smile, I know that we'll be two for the road, and that's a long, long time the sun will shine. In winter we'll drink summer wine. And every day that you are mine will be a lovely day. As long as love still wears a smile, I know that we'll be two for the road, and that's a long, long while. You've been listening to the Song Travels Podcast. To stream the full hour of this program, visit npr.org. And thank you for listening. I'm Michael Feinstein, host of Song Travels. To support this series, join the Friends of Song Travels. You can find more information on our Facebook page at facebook.com/songtravels.